Swear to God, you left me alone for like 2 whole minutes and I start browsing Facebook Marketplace for furniture. I didn't buy anything, but I might get this Shrek Buddha statue 3D printed. I kind of need
I've seen those. I've seen those.
I kind of want it for my garden. And put a little sign, stay out of my swamp.
Oh, I've got a 3D printing thing that I had meant to put on our Trello and I totally forgot.
What? I got to hear about this because we have a 3D printer.
It's a good one. It's a good one.
All right. Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. Hi, I'm Jenny.
And I'm Lauren. And we are all stretched out and warmed up, ready to give you a good show.
My vagina's all stretched out, warmed up too.
Not too stretched out. Gotta keep it tight.
I mean, it depends on what you're doing with it.
Good point. More on that later.
Yes.
Back to this 3D printed thing.
Yes.
So, Matt is showing me these like custom 3D printed figures that people are doing. You know, he's very big into action figure collecting. Mm-hmm. But don't tell him I told you that. He'll be very hurt to say that he has interests in action figures. And
yeah, good thing you didn't just say it on a public podcast,
right? In the middle of the internet.
Just the wilderness.
It's all right. He doesn't like hearing my voice anymore anyway. He doesn't listen to this show anymore. Say,
it's not like he listens to this shit.
So he's trying to show me these custom 3D things that people have started doing. And it's like, it's not just figures. It's like diorama sets, all this stuff. And like, he's really into it. And he's like, oh, Etsy's got a bunch of them. So he goes on Etsy and types in just diorama figures. And a bunch of pornographic minifigs pop up.
What?
And it's not just like nude. Like it starts out that they're just nudes, you know, right. But very explicit nudes, you know, nips, bushes, wow. Assholes, spread cheeks.
Wow.
Some of the figures, you know, are posed like with their leg up. Over and, their head.
And these are like characters or something? Like
these particular ones were not done as characters.
Okay.
It's just whoever was selling them was just selling like these, you know, explicitly nude figs. And he's like, oh my God. And he starts scrolling through those. He's scrolling through them laughing. And then it jumps into straight up porn.
Yeah.
Straight up hardcore minifigs, hardcore fucking. Like threesomes, like Eiffel Towers.
Whoa.
I don't know what this one is called, but like a woman riding a dude reverse cowgirl and then another woman sitting on his face.
Wow.
And it's all over. I mean, I guess should I put the links in our show notes?
Yes.
To these sites. One of them was if you go
you're
on
helping
Etsy,
artisans.
Yeah. You go on Etsy and it was called Hot Figs.
Yeah.
And like they offer them either standard paint, unpainted, or custom painted.
Mm.
So you could
get it to look like you and your fantasy person or something.
Yep.
Or
just like two of your fantasy people, because some of them are, you know.
Yeah, you definitely need to send me that link.
Yeah. All right, so I'll get that in there. But but like I was like, let me see if it comes up on mine. And when I searched Etsy for diorama figures, I did not see anything new.
Oh, so it's tailored to like his demographic, his cookies.
Yep. But as we're looking through, like he just kept saying, who is buying these? Because you can't display. He was like, Perfect. You can't display these anywhere.
Sure you can.
Like you can display it in your private collection.
Yeah, in your sex dungeon.
I mean, there are people who collect like Nazi memorabilia. And have it on display somewhere.
Is there a minifig of Hitler getting fucked by a pineapple?
We should request that. If anybody has a 3D printer. I know somebody with a 3D printer.
I have a 3D printer.
It's you.
Would just need the... I don't have any way to do a 3D model. I can do like really simple 3D models, but I can't do anything that complex.
I went on a date with a guy, and this was many years ago, so he's probably gotten better at it. I went on a date with a guy who had like these 3D print things. He had a 3D printer and was doing his own models and designs. He had 3D printed his own dick butt.
Nice.
And like a Batman or something else. He had a few different things. And the dick butt was really cool because it could like sit on the edge of a glass. Like it had it.
Nice.
Like, the way it was.
Like his legs would just sit over it or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really funny. Yeah.
All we've done with Scott's is like really like practical, boring shit, like very normie shit. Like here's a sink caddy for your kitchen. It's extremely useful.
Oh, wow.
It's extremely useful. Like it's got a little drain and everything. It's got a place to put the brush holder. But yeah, I need some of these models so I can print some dick butts or something.
Yeah, print a dick butt, print some nude people.
Yeah.
Woo.
We got this.
Oh. Anyway, you talked about stretching your pussy out earlier.
Yeah. So speaking of nudes, let me start with this. When I last went to the doctor, I had mentioned that, like, you know, sometimes I was on the birth control and like I would forget to take it. I would take it late. I would take it at midnight. I was very rarely like fully the next day, you know, like I didn't miss a full day, but I would miss it occasionally. And like, it kind of just screwed up. I could tell it was screwing up my hormones and everything, you know?
Right.
And she's like, well, let's try the NuvaRing. All right. Sounds like a fucking plan. Like, you know, you just pop this baby in there and like, it just melts, I guess.
No.
I mean, not melt, but like the hormones come out of it.
Well, so the uninitiated, excuse me.
I don't know how let's like
explain
this
it. So the NuvaRing is a ring.
Mm-hmm.
About the size of if you touch your forefinger to your
mm-hmm.
pinky, or I'm sorry, forefinger to your thumb. That yeah.
that was actually what I was going to talk about. Was like, yeah. I was surprised that it was bigger than mm-hmm. I expected.
So what you have to do to insert it, you squeeze it so that uh-huh. like the center, you touch center to center, and then you gotta put it up inside of your vagina.
Mm-hmm.
Push it all the way up until it lays against your cervix, and this thing, as you were saying, melts. I don't know how it works either. It's laced with hormones, and the hormones get absorbed from the
yes.
plastic into your cervix.
Yes.
And it is hormonal birth control. And it stays inside of you for up to 28 days, but you can take it out at the
21, I think.
At 21, so yeah. You get a period. Yeah.
So, yeah.
But if you want to skip a period, you could leave it in there that week.
Well, let me get to that, too, because I forgot about that whole aspect of it. So, so number one, I pull the thing out of the package, and I was expecting it to be more like a condom, like that size and that mm-hmm. thickness of plastic. And so I pull this thing out, and it was, like, this fucking big, and you got to, like, it's pinch it. I couldn't yeah. keep it pinched very well. And managed to get it up in there. I was like, how the fuck do you do this? So I got it to a certain point where I was like, okay, it's in. And then just, it like, I hope it's working. Because when I put it in, it I could feel it like opening up already before I even got it like fully in. Because like, I couldn't keep it pinched like while it was going, you know, because
sure.
I've used like applicator free tampons for like forever, but those stay.
Yeah.
You know, you just
mm-hmm.
But this was like you have to pinch it, and it was like stronger than I expected, so I'm like, it just kept springing out, and I was just like, well, here we go. I don't know, is it in there? I think so.
Well, if you're not feeling it anymore, then it's in there.
Yeah.
Or but if you're feeling it closer. How long have you been using it?
Probably like 2 or 3 weeks now. So it's actually it's time for it to be
you're
switched
good.
Out.
And it hasn't yeah. come out or anything?
No. I think I would notice.
You mentioned on the Patreon show that you were constipated. You didn't poop it out, did you?
No, I didn't. Okay. No. But I'm afraid of like what happens when I gotta take the fucking thing out. Because again, like a tampon's got a yeah. string on it. You just I gotta go fishing for this motherfucker.
I can't remember ever having a problem when I took it out. But I can remember having a problem with it falling out.
Mm.
It came out during sex more than once.
Uh-oh. So what do you do if that happens?
You have to wash it. You have to wash it. And what? Apparently it doesn't wash the hormones off. No.
Because they're like inside of it.
Yeah. But like if you read the instructions, it says if it comes out, you can wash it.
Yeah. Weird.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how I feel about
And there
thing.
Was definitely one time where I was using it and I was on my period. Like I think I was trying to skip the period and it didn't quite work. And I was using it and a tampon at the same time and the tampon pulled it out.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So let's get into TMI on the show because that's what mm-hmm. we love to do here. I have lost a condom in there before and that was difficult to fish out. It was like, it was seriously like fucking Jacques Cousteau.
Wow.
Yeah, going yeah. through like, where is it?
Did you have someone help you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so I couldn't get it.
To help you.
Yeah. I literally could not fucking get it. So I'm like,
I have heard, now this was from male friends before. I've heard them say that the gynecologist told their wife to include them in the process of the Nuva ring.
Mm-hmm.
To be like, oh, it's fun for both of you. He can help you place it and remove it.
You know, honestly, it would probably be easier.
Yeah, and that it could be fun. Yeah.
It was so awkward. It was even more awkward than putting a tampon in for me. Because I was just like, I'm staying in the bathroom and I'm like, what if I drop this thing in the toilet? Like, oh my God, let me put this leg up here.
So I did use the Nuva ring, but it's been a very long time. And I can't remember having that much difficulty.
But
I'm sure there was a learning curve. No, I'm sure there was a learning curve. And also like, I don't know if this is weird or not. Again, TMI. I don't feel like I have that much depth,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Or maybe right. I just have long fingers. Because
I definitely have short fingers, for sure. But I'm short, so it shouldn't matter.
Right.
I don't know. Oh my God. So like, actually, this reminds me of like, after I had Haley years ago, I did not want to. No, I did Depo once and I hated it. It was like,
which
worst.
Again, to the uninitiated, Depo is the shot.
Yes. It like lasts for 3 months, but I swear it made my hair fall out. It did.
Oh, wow.
It was terrible. I mean, like all of a sudden my hair was just coming out like in clumps.
Wow.
Anyway, so I didn't, I was like, I don't want that. I don't want the pill. Like, I'm going to forget it. Like, let me get something non-hormonal. And they gave me the diaphragm.
I was going to mention diaphragms, which I've never used. But
I used it once. So real TMI, use it. And I'm like, I go to pull it out. And I'm like, I hope this worked because it was like fishing a condom out. It was gross. It was really fucking gross.
Well, and you wash it. You're supposed to leave it in a few days.
Maybe that's what I did wrong. They didn't teach me how to do that shit.
So, well, what I heard was when you use it, you have to put it in with the spermicidal lubricant. And then you're supposed to leave it in for a few days. Because if you take it out right away, then the sperm can get out of it.
That was my concern. I was like, So I called the doctor like immediately. Like I took it out right away because I was like, I was afraid of like toxic syndrome or something.
As you should be.
So I was like, I called the doctor right away and I was like, I can't do this. You need to give me something else. I don't even remember what I ended up doing, but it was not that. Oh, that's when I got the IUD.
Uh-huh.
Which was like the best, but my insurance doesn't cover that
anymore. Yeah, mine either, which is really stupid.
You would think that they would want you to do that so they don't have to cover you going to the fucking hospital to have a baby.
Right. Ridiculous.
So all that being said, now I've got this piece of plastic in. Haven't heard yet whether or not it can be felt. I don't know. We'll see. But
no, in my experience, if you can't feel it, it's in there.
Well,
it's in there where it needs to be
by him.
Oh, okay. Just yeah. ask him.
I will.
Later. If it's up there around the cervix like it's supposed to be, he's mm-hmm. not really going to feel it. But if it moves around a little bit, then he'll feel it.
Right. Okay. Speaking of which. So this is just the sex bonanza episode, I guess. A couple weeks ago. I think this is actually pre-NuvaRing. So this was, I wouldn't even have been able to find out if it was like, if you could feel it or not. So we're fucking, right? We're banging it out.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Let's hear it.
Banging it out.
Yeah.
How much should I describe about the position that this is? I have to describe it.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell us the position.
So I'm
I bet
like,
it's one I haven't done in a while.
On the edge of the bed, okay. like laying down. Okay. And my legs are like all the way up.
Okay.
And he's just like on the edge of the bed like this.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's the problem. I can't do it, but it was making this noise like an armpit fart. And I fucking start. Yes. I start cracking up because like, you know, I've encountered queef situations,
uh-huh.
all kinds of shit, farted during oral.
you farted during oral or
both
guy
giving,
farted?
Both giving and receiving.
Oh, wow.
So, but this was a new one for me, was to get the armpit fart. And it was all I could do to not just fucking crack up because nobody needs that kind of complex.
Well, did you crack up or not?
No, I probably just had a weird look on my face like...
I think that there's a level of comfort where like when your bodies are making that noise, like it's okay to laugh at it.
Right.
Like you're not laughing at him, you know, like he's not going to laugh at you, but fart noises are funny. Right.
Fart noises are
especially when it's
funny.
Constant. Like,
yes. You know, if you can laugh and have sex,
that's right.
That's the cornerstone
totally
of a great relationship.
That's the best part. The best of both worlds.
Just like Jean-Luc Picard.
I was going to say Hannah Montana.
Hey, let's talk about Star Trek.
All right. Barry Bemichek is making an appearance today. Welcome, like, Barry.
It fluctuates between Cookie Monster and Harry Carey. That one was way more Harry Carey. I got to work on the voice.
That was pretty Harry Carey. Yeah,
that was definitely.
But maybe Barry could tell us about his love of cookies.
You know, I can't do it unless I actually have a cookie. I tried to do it on Dork Trek. So this is the new. I was definitely
I guess we
not
should explain what we're talking about.
Definitely not. Mocking a cornerstone of the Star Trek community, like Larry Nemechek. I was just
not
doing
him.
A silly voice.
Yeah, the silly voice of mouthy broadcast personality, Barry Bemichek.
Barry Bemichek, yeah. He's a cookie-loving sportscaster.
That's right.
So I tried to do the voice on Dork Trek, and when they asked me to do Cookie Monster, I couldn't do it on command. But then later, I was eating a cookie, probably. And I was just like, just
me love cookies.
And just magic. But I can't do it intentionally, which is why I'm, you know, not talented.
I disagree. I feel like you're just oozing with talent from all over.
Especially out of my NuvaRing.
Do you think any of our listeners have had any experiences with NuvaRings?
I would like to hear about it.
If so, call us at 757. I don't remember our number.
757-541-CUNT.
That's
seems like
it.
I should know it after all these years. Yeah, I would love to hear some more like horror stories of birth control.
Yeah, I don't have any horror stories. The only thing I know about the diaphragm, my mom used it, and she told me that, you know, she just told me that, you know, after you have a baby, you have to get refitted for it. And that after she told me a story. So, you know, my mom was raised in a very strict Irish Catholic household. My grandmother mm-hmm. was horrified at the idea of birth control. You know, this is mm-hmm. a woman who gave birth to 7 children.
Right.
And would have kept going, but she had some health issues.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom had called the doctor after my brother, the youngest, was born, trying to make an appointment. And they were like, oh, it's going to be like 3 months before we can get you in. And she's I need to come in now. And they were like, oh, relax, you'll be fine. And she hung up the phone with her doctor's office and was like, and her mom was there, which is the point of the story. And she's like, they can't get me in. This is why I have the last one.
Yep.
And she said that, you know, how am I? I need a new diaphragm.
She's all hysterical with this pregnancy. Yeah. And shit.
And she told me this and told me how bad she felt saying this stuff in front of her mom. And I'm like, why would you feel bad saying that? And then like, it hit me like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
Birth control was such a sin.
Right.
Okay. You know?
Right.
And then the only similar conversation I ever had with my mother about a diaphragm or about birth control in general was after I had my child. And I had told her, like, you know, yeah, I started my period again, you know, a few months after the, you know, giving birth. And she's like, you know, that means you can get pregnant again. I was like, yes, I know. Well, you better get a diaphragm. I'm like, I'm on the pill, Mom. She's like, that's not as effective.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. And leaving half a grapefruit, inside of me,
you
pressed
have
against
one
my
child.
Surface for 3 days after sex.
She has 3. I think you know that you made the right choices.
Well, at this point, I've proved it.
Right.
But it took me this long to prove it.
True. True. I can't remember if I talked about this on the show, but like when we were watching, when I was trying to watch 90 Day Fiancé last season, that whole conversation with, what's her name? Was her name Julia or something from
yes,
Russia?
I know, take medicine.
Yeah.
I know, want medicine.
And the mother-in-law, like, was going to take her to the doctor and the whole thing. I basically had that conversation after Haley was born. Like, oh, you're on birth control, right? And I'm like, yeah. What are you taking? I need to know. You know, I was like,
God. Oh, God.
Bitch. Oh, I don't want any more children either. Calm the fuck down.
Right, right.
I will have another child right the second just to spite you if you keep up with this fucking attitude.
Well, I'm glad you didn't have a spite child.
Yeah, me
too. Can you imagine? There are people who are that petty. They would have a child out of spite.
Yeah. I'm sure I know some specifically.
Okay, we'll talk off air.
Yeah. Anyways,
certainly not Boren or Benny. They would never do that.
No. Spike. Barry, though. Barry Bemichek. Anyways, so now that we're done talking about fucking and shit, I'm just trying to offend the children out the other room. Maybe they can hear me.
We don't have any children listening. We better not have any children listening.
No, in the other room.
Oh.
It's not very soundproofing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you definitely don't want them hearing about you having sex. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Okay. I knew what I was doing. tell us about your Colorado adventures. What were some of the highlights of your trip?
Oh, boy. So I went to Colorado, everybody.
Do some shrooms?
No, didn't do shrooms. The closest I got was that I walked into a marijuana dispensary and then immediately left before I even made it across the threshold.
They were like, "Narc, get out of here."
Well, so there was one right by where we were staying that was advertising THC infused drinks. And I was like, you know, I'd try one of those. I'd go try one. And Matt was like, all right, you can try one. And I was like, well, come in with me. We walk inside, and there's a bank of elevators and a stairway. Mm-hmm. You had to walk down to the basement of this place.
Oh, shit.
And Matt took one look at that and was like, I'm out. And then he left, and I was like, something happened in my brain, and I was like, I can't do it alone. And I turned around and left. Which I should have done. I should have just gone in. I don't know why I'm such a square.
I would love to try it. Because I've done CBD drinks, so I didn't really get much out of it.
Yeah, I've never gotten anything out of CBD at all. Even, like, the stuff you buy and, like, just take, you know.
It's, for me, it's always, like, a combination of stuff. Like, when we were in the Outer Banks and we got a, like, basically we got a joint of CBD mm-hmm. and smoked that. And we drank some wine, and it was, like, it was just the perfect, like, little experience, okay. You know. And it just kind of, like, helped to heighten the drunkenness. And it actually felt like it maybe not get completely drunk, just kind of, like, giddy and silly mm-hmm. in a, like, in a fun, very fun sort of way. So,
yeah. I mean, I wish I had at least just walked in just to, mm-hmm. to see what it was like.
Just to experience it.
Yeah, just to see what it was like, even if I didn't get anything. Because in the end, I'm glad I didn't get a drink. Mm-hmm. Because we met up with a friend of Matt's after that, who lives in Colorado Springs. And she said that she and her husband had gotten, or I think her husband, not her, had gotten a drink one time that was THC infused. And, like, she said, if you do end up getting one, and I didn't end up getting one, but she said, if you do, don't drink the whole thing.
Yes.
Because he drank the whole thing and was, like, tripping.
And I was going to say, like, if you have never had anything like that, like,
yeah.
You need to know, like, you need to kind of be in a place where, like, you are comfortable and do a little bit at a time. Because if it's, like, 500 milligrams or some crazy shit in this can and you drink the whole thing, you're going to lose your mind, mm-hmm. you know, and it's not going to be a good time for anybody. Yeah.
So we didn't do that. But I will say that all the street musicians in Denver that we saw, well, not all of them. Some of them were good. There was, like, this there were a lot of street musicians near the place where we stayed. There's this place called the 16th Street Mall, which is this, like, this really cool pedestrian area, you know, a bunch of restaurants and shops. And there were street musicians everywhere. And there was, like, this violinist that was great. There was a cellist out there one night. There were these kids that were rapping and singing, and they're like a hip hop group. They were great. Mm-hmm. They were, I'm going to put a link to their social media stuff. They were called Voices of Prophecy. And they were, like, adorable, like, it was like five or six of them, and adorable. Like, they were ranging in ages from, like, 12 to probably, like, 21. So they weren't all little, but, like, to me, they were kids. And I was just like, wow, they're really great. And then there's, like, this one, like, street band that was a couple of guitars and drums, and it was, like, the worst thing ever. These guys were obviously high. I think they mm-hmm. got to Denver, they got high, and then they forgot how to do anything.
Mm-hmm. Seems legit. I mean, but sometimes people that watch those kind of people are so high that they don't give a shit either.
Right. But the definitely the highlights of our trip were getting to interview Margie Kerr, which was the main reason why we had gone out there. She was the sociologist that specializes in fear, and we needed to put her voice into the documentary that Matt's finishing up. Mm-hmm. And she was amazing. She was completely humble, but at the same time, like, so knowledgeable. And so gracious. Like, she thanked us for coming. Like, we're like, no, thank you for having us. Like, she was great. I have to send her a thank you note. That saying that reminded me that I need to do that. But, like, she was really sweet to us and, like, you know, so good on camera. Like, everything she said is 100% usable. Like, we're really lucky for that. Mm-hmm. And then the highlight of the trip. So, well, there are two big things. So, one is we got to go to Garden of the Gods, and it was definitely, like, the most gorgeous place I've ever seen in my life as far as, like, natural beauty goes. Mm-hmm. Like, just like these amazing red rock formations that have been there for, you know, millions of years. And the way that it fits in with the city, that part is like right outside of Colorado Springs. And it's so odd because like here we're used to seeing, and I know that like the whole West Coast is different anyway, but if you're going to go up into the mountains on the East Coast, there's like nothing there. Mm-hmm. Like you don't get to the mountains until you're in the middle of nowhere. Out there, like there's an entire city built into the mountains.
Right.
Like you get like a Target and a Starbucks and then this amazing view of the Rockies.
Wow.
So it's pretty cool to see all that, like just right on top of this gorgeous scenery. And then on our last day of exploration, we went to this little mountain town called Frisco, mm-hmm. which was also really cool. It was like a former mining town.
Ooh.
So like there were all these cute little like lodges. What was that?
No, I'm just making a cannibal reference.
Oh, okay. but on our way there, we got elevation sick.
Oh, shit.
So we're driving.
What does that feel like?
We couldn't breathe very well, and Matt started falling asleep.
That's fucking terrifying.
And I was yawning a lot. And we're just in the car. Like, Matt's friend was like, oh, yeah, there's this town called Frisco. Go out there. There's a great place for brunch. And then, Lauren, if you want to do some hiking, there are really cool trails nearby. And I definitely was not going to do any hiking because I couldn't breathe just in the damn car. So
I guess if you live out there, like you're used to it being kind of
well, she
air.
Warned us, like she gave us like these hydration tabs, like electrolyte tabs to add to our water. She was like, use this. It'll help.
I'm just making references all fucking day.
But on the way there, so we aren't sure how high we were on the drive out there. We know that the town itself was around 9,000 feet
Jesus.
Above sea level.
Like 2 miles in the fucking sky.
Yeah. Yeah. So Denver's like somewhere between 6 and 7, mm-hmm. the mile high city, which is well over a mile.
Mm-hmm.
So we're on the way out there. We get to this little town. Like we stopped to use the bathroom at this place that had a sign that said 8511 elevation.
Wow.
And then we kept driving up for a while. Like up and up and up and up. And Matt's like, I'm having trouble catching my breath. Like it hit him before it hit me. And I was like, all right, let's just, you know, roll down the windows. You know, we're okay. We're almost there.
Mm.
And then I was having more trouble. Like, and then I kept yawning because, you know, mm-hmm. like the oxygen's not there.
Your body's like, please, yeah. I need to breathe.
Yeah. So, and then we started descending. And then again, like I felt better first. I was like, okay, I feel better now. Do you feel better? And he's like, not yet. Not yet. And then a few minutes later, he started feeling better.
So the town was like kind of in a valley and you had to go across this giant mountain.
No,
to get
it was
to
still,
it?
I mean, it's still up in the mountains because yeah. the town is still 9,000 feet, but we had to go like.
Oh, you're going over the little.
Yeah, we're going bridges. Up and down and up and down and up and down. Yeah. So it's like weird. So I don't know exactly how high we got on the way there, but we were definitely higher up there than we were when we got to the town, and the town was at 9,000.
I was about to ask if you even got to the town because like, I mean, I was like starting to feel panicky just thinking about it, like just not being able to breathe and you're trying mm-hmm. to fucking drive and shit. Like,
yeah. So we made it. We made it there.
Wow.
But Matt was like, I am not walking around here. So like, yeah. We walked a little bit. I went into the stores because there were a ton of like antique shops and like, you know, little kitschy stores with like arts and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, I want to get gifts for people back home. So I'm going to go shopping. And he's like, why do you have to get gifts for people?
Like, that's what you do when you go.
That's what I said. I was like, to let my friends and family know I was thinking about them.
Sorry, mister. I just go to Disney World for myself.
Ow.
Sorry, is that too much?
I don't think so. But we'll see what he says.
He ain't gonna listen.
He won't listen. He won't hear this. Maybe he'll hear it in like a month. Well, he has a job now, and his job's like a 45-minute drive, so maybe he will be hearing it.
Oh, he's gonna catch. Well, I'm not gonna tell you where I live after this week. You can't come after me.
He won't be able to find you.
That's right.
Yeah, but then on the way back, I drove because he was like, I don't think I can drive home. I think I'm going to have to fall asleep. Because then at that point, he was like tired and stuff. And so on the way home, like I did still yawn as we went back up. But then as we came back down, I like I was yawning, but I wasn't like sleepy, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
He straight up went to sleep. He was like, I'm going to sleep in the car. So that was
that's insane.
That was interesting.
Yeah. I've had nightmares about driving into the Rockies, and I don't know why. Like, I've never even been out there. I've been to Las Vegas. That's the furthest west I've gone, which is like well on the other side of. Well, I guess you cross the Rockies to get there, but
yeah. Well, I mean, but when you fly, you're kind of, you know,
you just go right the fuck over it. Yeah, so yeah, I've had nightmares that like I get to the mountains and it just like my car goes up and then it like flips over and I die or something.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Just, yeah.
We saw a bunch of runaway truck ramps.
Oh shit. Before? Yes. And like they have those in West Virginia all over.
Yeah.
Those.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even fucking imagine. If,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Coming down the side of a 9,000 foot mountain and you got to run up a ramp.
Tell him Large Marge sent you.
Yeah. It was a dark and stormy night. Yeah. So that was kind of nuts.
Nuts.
But we got to drive through like mountain tunnels.
Oh, that's cool.
You've probably driven through those in West Virginia too. I've never driven through one before.
I'm sure it's not like in the Rockies though.
In the Rockies, like we went through a big one. I think it was the Eisenhower Tunnel, or maybe it was the Roosevelt Tunnel. I don't know, but it was a tunnel, and it had a dead president's name.
Yeah, some type of president.
But what I noticed about it was there were shoulders on both sides of the tunnel.
Like
it was extra wide and extra safe, and it was taller too,
right?
Than what I'm used to.
Not and like the HRBT where it's like,
yeah.
Holy shit, if I move even an inch to the left or right, I'm dead.
Yeah. And it was really well lit, like even more better well lit than, you know, the HRBT or the modern Merrimack.
Wow.
So, yeah. So I was like, wow, mountain tunnels are nothing compared to the, you know, the water tunnels that I'm used to.
You know where I've wanted to go recently that, like, I never had a desire to go was Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know what it is lately. I've just been like, I want to fucking go to L.A.
I've never been to the West Coast. I mean, Colorado's the furthest west I've ever been. Mm-hmm. So I've always wanted to go to California.
I've never seen the Pacific,
which
I guess you haven't either. So
actually, I did see the Pacific once. I went to El Salvador.
Oh, so, okay.
You know what? I'd have to look at a map to find out if El Salvador is further west than Colorado. It's probably right in the same.
Yeah, seems about right.
I feel like it was in the same time zone.
And my geography's failing right now because I'm not feeling good. But I don't know. Like, there's something about like when I was a teenager, like Chicago was the place I wanted to go. Like I wanted to go to Chicago so bad. It just seemed like the coolest fucking city in the United States. Like I was like, oh my God, I can't wait to go. And I finally went and it was the wrong time of year for Chicago in this town's defense. February, late February, early March
is not
Chicago at its peak.
No.
But I was just so, I was also there with my in-laws. And I was pregnant. So there's a lot of shit I couldn't do. I wasn't like having fun. I wasn't experiencing like nightlife and shit like that. But I was just, I was so unimpressed. Like it didn't match the, you know, the shining city upon the hill that was in my imagination. And like on the opposite side, like New York was a town I never wanted to go to. And I finally went there and I was like, this place is fucking great. I want to come here like every fucking year. And like Los Angeles was kind of like that for me. Like I never wanted to go. Like I always wanted to go to like San Francisco or, you know, some of the more artsy, weird California towns. Like, but something about Los Angeles to me lately has been like that. That's kind of bumped up to like my top five places that I could legitimately visit, not like Australia or New Zealand or something, which is way too expensive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also COVID lockdowns.
That too. Yes.
We might I keep never forgetting be that to it's go to Australia.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't even want to talk about COVID. I haven't even thought about it for so like, I mean, I'm thinking about it all the time still, but it's just like, it's not like, oh my God, the anxiety and the nervousness and everything.
Mm-hmm. It was weird. So being in the airport, at the Dulles Airport in DC, they were very strict with the mask policy. Like you must have your mask on. And like Southwest Airlines, like gave a big announcement, like before we boarded, like if you cannot keep a mask on for the entire flight, you better come talk to one of us right now. And we'll make other arrangements for you to travel today.
Wow.
Like you better keep that mask
on. Good for them.
And, but then like we got to the Denver airport and right away, like we saw some people not wearing masks. Like they maybe had it on their chin or whatever, but you know, we kept ours on. And then by the time we got to our hotel, not a mask in sight. Mm. And then again, like around the city, no masks.
I mean, anywhere, I'm glad that you were finally able to go because I know you guys have been planning this trip for so long and like to the point that you were originally going to drive because you couldn't fly, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, well, I guess we you also could've. Wanted to do like a fun, we wanted to do a fun drive though.
Like a road trip.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, let's see the country. Let's put the cunt back in country.
But even then, like on the way home, so like when we, you know, when we left, the announcements about masks were not as strict. Like they still said like wear a mask.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it was just our flight crew because it was still Southwest and they still have a keep your mask on in flight. But like they were, it was not as forceful as a pre-boarding announcement as it was leaving Dulles. So, but definitely not as strict a policy in Colorado as we saw around here at all.
I just realized there was a topic I was about to go into like at the beginning of the show.
Oh,
and I don't want to do it now because it's too late. Like we're,
oh, no.
We're about ready to wrap up. We'll have to save it for next time. We actually have something to talk about next time. Plus I need to like do some more research. Cause I want to actually know what the fuck I'm talking about instead of just like making shit up as I'm going along. Go figure. Before we wrap it up completely though, I wanted to talk about the latest episode of Deprogrammed that I did.
Yes.
So this was kind of like a weird, thing that came about. Like it basically started a few months ago. Peter was like, "Hey, I saw you were listening to this band Sparks on Spotify." I'm like, "Was I really? Hey, stalker." No, but like, apparently I listened to like a song and, Peter saw me listening to it and he's like, "Oh, I think you would really like this song." They did a like a duet with Mike Patton from Faith No More.
Oh, nice.
So I check it out and I'm like, yeah, this is pretty cool. Like, let me listen to they just came out with a new album. Let me listen to this. I listened to it. I was like, man, these guys are fucking great. It kind of like snowballs a little bit. Somehow Chris revealed that he was Chris Otto. Yeah, let me say his name right.
Chris Otto.
So he reveals that he was a big fan of this band Sparks. And I'm like, I didn't even know about them until apparently I listened to a song and didn't notice it. And, you know, this whole conversation with Peter and he's like, oh, they're fucking amazing. You would love them. And I start diving into the discography and I was like, holy shit. Like, where has this band been all my life? Like, I don't want to recap the entire show because I went into that whole thing. Like, I was like, these are my fucking people. Like, these guys are fucking amazing. They've been around since like 1971 and I'd never heard of them at all. Mm-hmm. And I guess it like they kind of became part of the the zeitgeist, if you will, because like Edgar Wright, who's the director of like Baby Driver and
Scott Pilgrim,
Shaun of the Dead, all that stuff. He directed a documentary and it was just kind of coming about at the same time. You know, that's probably, I bet that that has something to do with why I've been wanting to go to Los Angeles so much, because like watching that documentary and like looking into their history and like, you know, kind of how they came about, probably, you know, maybe want to like experience Los Angeles itself. So that's, yeah, I'm just psychoanalyzing myself like live on the show. So anyway, so like all of a sudden, like I have a new favorite band, like, and not just like, oh my God, these guys are great, I'm going to listen to them more often. They're probably going to be in my top five for the year. Like at the end of Spotify, like when you get your report, it's going to be like right up near the top. Like I've been listening to them so fucking much. They're so amazing. And like if you're into glam rock, they did a lot of like glam rock stuff. They did a lot of new wave stuff. They did, I mean, they did dance shit. Like they're everywhere. Like there's something for everybody in their discography. And like, they're kind of assholes in a way, like in kind of like in a good way. They're kind of like they're kind of making fun of everything, even though they're making these great songs. Like it's almost like if Weird Al was a little bit more serious.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. Like,
yes.
There was one song in particular that I put on my deprogram list that I was like, I like this because it reminds me of a Weird Al song. Like it was the most Weird Al that I've heard. And, you know, go figure, Weird Al is a big fan of theirs. Like he was in the documentary.
Nice.
So yeah, it was, I'm just freaking blown away. And I want people to go listen to the deprogrammed episode, listen to the top 10 list. It was an interesting one because, you know, normally when you do these deprogrammed episodes, like there's only like maybe 7 albums. These guys have like fucking 25 albums. So we were like, how the hell are we going to do this?
Yeah, how'd you narrow it down?
We just did their singles.
Oh, okay.
Like only the hit singles. So because we figured if it's this big of a discography, it's going to be kind of inaccessible.
Mm-hmm.
And the most accessible way to get people into it is to pick the songs that are supposed to be the hits, you know, the ones that they're putting out the radio. And that was still like 70 songs.
Mm.
It was so many fucking songs. And then we could each nominate 3 like B-sides or, you know, deep cuts or whatever. So yeah, I think I was the only one that did 3, but you know, it was great. Everyone should listen to them, check out some new music or, you know, new to you because they've been around for fucking 50 years.
Uh-huh.
So, and the documentary was fucking amazing. Like, I don't know if you would be into it as much because if you're not into the music or whatever, but like Matt needs to watch it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and plus it's Edgar Wright. So it's like,
yeah,
you know, his style and everything. There's a lot of like really cool animation. That was actually my first movie back after pandemic. We went to the Narrow and watched it. So we finally did that. Finally.
How was the movie crowd? That.
It was not bad at all. It was like, I mean, like I said, this was at the Narrow, which is like the little indie theater here. There was probably only like maybe 20 people in the whole theater.
Oh, wow.
You know, it was like, there was probably as many people as like at your birthday party or something. You know, like I don't count that as being like a movie. Roxy's coming to like try to kill the show.
I see her. She's like, come on, you said you were wrapping up, Mom.
Right.
I heard you.
So I mean, like, I don't count the birthday party show as much because it was like, it was a private party, you know, like we're not mixing it with strangers and stuff.
We went to see Black Widow this past weekend and it was packed. There's no more social distancing, nothing.
I felt safe going to the indie theater on a Monday to see the obscure band documentary, you know, Black Widow. I'll probably pay the $30 or whatever and watch it.
Yeah, whatever it is on Disney. Yeah.
I'll just wait and see it on Disney Plus for free. Yeah. It's fine. What did you rate the movie?
3.5 out of 5.
Home video good.
Home video good. You know, Matt was anxious to get back to the movies. He has a really strong affinity mm-hmm. for the movies. We took Chris with us. It's the first time that like we've done something together as a family in a long time. Not just the fact that he was away at camp or that we were
right,
on vacation,
right.
but like even
everybody's
well
doing their own
that.
Thing.
Yeah. So we you know, we went to dinner and then we went to the movie. So we had a great time as a family. The movie was good. I mean, it wasn't like Endgame good, but yeah. It was fun. It was a good time. So
nice.
I would have enjoyed it just as much as at home as I did
right,
in the theater.
Right.
So there's no need to rush out. There are some really great action scenes that I'm sure play out better on the big screen yeah. than at home, but we're all used to it at this point.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, Sparks is one that you could definitely watch at home. Like mm-hmm. you don't need to see it on the big screen. I enjoyed it and I was just eager to see it basically,
yeah.
you know? But yeah, cool. We got to do another Comic-Con soon.
Yeah, I know.
Let's carve out some more time from our already packed schedules to do another fucking podcast.
To watch a movie and then talk about it.
Right. Ugh, speaking of which, I need to go to bed. That has nothing to do with it. It's worst segue. Man,
I still got to go feed my aunt's cats.
Oh, Jesus. I think I'm going to go fill up the bathtub and soak for a bit. Because this apartment has a really nice, gigantic bathtub with jets and everything in it.
That sounds lovely.
We have not used it in a month and a half. Because it's like got boxes of my shit in it. And then there's a literal box of shit on the outside for my cat.
Yeah.
So it's...
So as soon as you calm down and relax, she's going to come in there and shit.
Yep. Thanks. Yep. Yeah, it's basically all part of this room. So, like, I can't shut her out. You know, like, it's just... Yeah. It's literally right behind me right there. So mm-hmm. she's probably just going to come up and jump in and claw the shit out of my boobs or something while I'm in the bath. I wish I could see the look on her face right now. She's like,
she knows. She's like, that's right, bitch. I'm about to mm-hmm. try me.
Fucking
try it.
Fucking watch me. Gangsters. Fuck, bitch.
Do it.
Do it, bitch. Do it. All right. Let's wrap this up. For real. For real, real. Hi. Bye. We're Mouthy Broadcast. MouthyBroadcast.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Patreon at Mouthy Broadcast. You can call us at 757-541-CUNT. And we'll see you next Tuesday, motherfuckers. Roxy's giving me the death stare. That's her right now.